Blog Talk Radio.
God has given us a second chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God this morning for waking us up. We thank God this morning for putting a pep in our step. We thank God this morning for being who he is, a great and mighty God. I am thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the word of God. And this morning we are blessed to start a new chapter. We are in the book of 1 Samuel. Can the church say amen? I love this book because God shows us in Samuel that he can use a child to do great things for the kingdom. A child can lead us. Hallelujah. And with Samuel, I have a couple of things, you know how we do. Samuel in 10 words. In 10 words or less. And this is the word. Israel's 12 tribes unite under a king. That's it. That's Samuel. 1 Samuel. Israel's 12 tribes unite under a king. And this is what my Know Your Bible book tells me. It's a little teeny book, but it has just a lot of information. So I'd like to give an overview before we start. But first, let us start with prayer. Father God in heaven, we come to you humble hearts, minds open to receive your word, Lord God. We ask you, Father, to give us clarity, to give us understanding, to help us to know that your word is true and that we can stand on it as we meditate on it day and night. Lord God, let it come alive in our hearts, minds, and spirit. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Father God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And as I say every day, Father, please increase as I decrease. In the name of Christ Jesus, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this daily opportunity to spread your word across the world. Lord God, let those that hear, hear, and those that need, receive. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thanking God again for the opportunity to serve you with his word, to speak it, to read it, to share it. And this morning, as we go into a new book, we are in 1 Samuel. And this is what it says. 1 Samuel, the author is not stated. Samuel himself was likely involved, though some of the history of 1 Samuel occurs after the prophet's death. The dates approximately of this book are 1100 to 1000 B.C. The details, fertile woman, Hannah, couldn't have any children. We're going to call her barren like the Bible does. begs God for a son, promising to return him to the Lord's service. Samuel is born and soon sent to the temple to serve under the aging priest Eli. Upon Eli's death, Samuel serves as judge or deliverer of Israel, subduing the nation's fearsome enemy, the Philistines. As Samuel ages, Israel's tribal leaders reject his sinful sons and ask for a king. Samuel warns that a king will tax the people and force them into service, but they insist. And God tells Samuel to anoint the notable, tall and handsome Saul, as a being begins making poor choices. And when he offers a sacrifice to God, a job reserved for priests, Samuel tells Saul that he will be replaced. Saul's successor will be a shepherd named David, who with God's help kills a giant Philistine warrior named Goliath and becomes Israel's hero. The jealous king seeks to kill David, who runs for his life. David rejects opportunities to kill Saul himself, saying, "I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed." That's a highlightable. At the end of 1 Samuel, Saul dies battling the Philistines, making way for David to become king. And these are some quotables. Besides chapter 26, verse 23. And this is one. It says, "The Lord said unto Samuel, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Whew. Better to obey. And we know that is also obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the ram. And a last one, it says, "And then David said to the Philistine Goliath, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Chapter 17, verse 45. And this is the unique and unusual. The future King Saul is a donkey herder, verse 9:15, who tries to hide from his own coronation. Chapter 10, verses 21 to 22. As King Saul breaks his own law by asking a medium to call up the spirit of the dead Samuel, chapter 28. So what? Selfish choices such as the Israelites' request for a king and Saul's decision to offer a sacrifice he had no business making can have heavy, even tragic consequences. And what I get from 1 Samuel is this. The decisions that we make can have long-lasting consequences. Even though we may not make them, meaning for them to have lasting consequences, meaning for everything to work out for our good, but sometimes we make mistakes. We forget who God is. And we depend on ourselves. We depend on what we can do. And when we do that, God takes away everything and makes you start over. So you learn to depend on him and not on yourself. So I say today, let us, as we go into 1 Samuel, reach up and ask God, "Lord, you guide me. Lord, you show me. Lord, you make a way out of no way. But you are my God and I am your child. And I ask you, Lord, guide and lead me. For I am humble in spirit and need you." We got to ask God to guide us and lead us in whatever the situation is. In whatever you are doing, speak up and ask God to guide you. We are not by ourselves. We are God's children. And I can say this without any doubt in my mind. He loves us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to go. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be the best we can be. I thank God this morning for who he is, a wonderful and mighty God who loves us more than we could ever imagine and more than we even love ourselves. I am so thankful and grateful for this word this morning. I love Hannah. I do. I just think she's an awesome woman of God. You know, you think about it, you're being abused. You're being treated horribly by your sister wife, I guess is what I want to call her. And all you're trying to do is live right. It's not your fault that your husband loves you more. You know, it's kind of a Leah Rachel situation. And the sad part is that Elkanah has no idea what's going on. He's like, well, I give you the best of everything. You know, not understanding what she wants is children. That's all. Give me a baby. That's what I want. You know, you planting babies in this other woman that you don't love, but who you do love can't have any. But she didn't understand it wasn't him, it was God. Because God was going to do a miraculous thing in Hannah. And it's Hannah's son, Samuel, that people know for love, that is still in the book after thousands of years. It is his word. It is his book that we read today. So let's get started. 1 Samuel chapter 1 says, now there was a certain man of Ramath Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, he, the son of Tohu, the son of Zupha, an Ephraimite, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Although the Lord had closed her womb, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow. Remember, what happens when you make vows? You got to keep your vows. You got to do what you say you're going to do. Because if you do not understand the consequences, but understand that when you make a vow, it can come back and it can make you understand that it is no joke. You know, as we go back into our words, the book of Judges, to Jephthah. You know, and he was this mighty warrior, but he made a vow to God, thing that he saw. To come out of his house, he was sacrificed to God. And who came out of his house but his daughter with her little tambourine dancing and joyful. And she was his only child. And he had to sacrifice her to God. So we have to be very careful when we make a vow. You know, just as Jephthah did, we got to be careful. Lord, if you, I will. Got to be careful with that. But Hannah made a vow that day. And she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched him out. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. Said to her, how long will you be drunk, putting your wine away from you? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to sacrifice to the Lord, the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, and he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He rises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and makes them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He has guarded the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kings and exalt the horn of his anointed. Woo! Hannah was praising that morning. Hannah got happy. You know, I say Hannah got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord used her. No one is holy like the Lord. That's our title for this morning. No one is holy like the Lord. Hannah was preaching. She was letting it go. She was letting everybody know who her God is and that no one is holy like the Lord. And it goes on to say in verse 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord, and the priest's customs with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the fish had brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, no, but you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force. Therefore, the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men abhor the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. Then they will go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. God gave her grace. Five additional children. Grace. He gave her three boys and two girls. That's because God gave her grace. He said, you gave back to me, and I'm going to give you five times what you gave me. Gave her five times what you gave him. And if you want to go with sons, three times what she gave him. Because she gave freely her hallelujah. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his son did to all Israel and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear you make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. And the child Samuel grew in stature and favor, both with the Lord and men. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice commanded in my dwelling place and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel by Israel, my people? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming and I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house, and you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever, but any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, Hophni, and in one day they shall die, both of them. Then I will rise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, please put me in one of the priestly positions that I may eat a piece of bread. Wow. Chapter 3. And we will go over life lessons after we finish the chapters today. We'll do life lessons last, because this word is just too good. It is awesome. Whew, let's keep going, because this is a great word today. Chapter 3 of the book of 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down now. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here I am. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Then Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Samuel chapter 4. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped at Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. So far, 34,000 folks have died. As the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. And understand, I believe that these young men died, or these older men died, because of their sin and the fact that God had told Samuel that they were all dying. Now they took the ark. They did not protect it because their soul were not right. Let's keep going. Then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirty on his head. Now when he came, there was Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the sound of this psalm mean?" And the man came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Then the man said to Eli, "I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line." And he said, "What happened to my son?" So the messenger answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured." Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell offside of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you are born a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel before the ark of God has been captured, because the ark of God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." Then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when the people asked God, arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on his, of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both of the palms of his hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any who came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod to this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is harsh toward us, and Dagon our God. Therefore they sent and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried away to Gath. So they carried the ark of the God to Israel away. So it was after they had carried it away that the hand of the Lord was against the city with a great, great destruction. And he struck the men of the city, both small and great, and tumors broke out on them. Therefore, they saw it was as the ark of God came to Akron, that the Akronites cried out, saying, they have brought the ark of God of Israel to us to kill us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of God of Israel. Let it go back to its own place so that it does not kill us and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who did not die were stricken with the tumors and the city. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. Don't mess with God and don't mess with his people. Don't do it, because it will come back on you. What a word this morning. Oh my goodness, I told y'all it was a mighty word today. The book of Samuel is so rich. It's so rich. You know, and as we get moving forward again, we're going to continue in the book of Samuel. And Sunday, we will have our Psalms in the New Testament in Luke. But today is a Samuel kind of word. And it goes on to tell us in Samuel, chapter 6. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. So they said, if you send away the ark of God, of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then they said, what is the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you and on your lands. Therefore, you shall make images of your tumors and images of your rats that ravaged the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods, and from your land. Why then do you harden your heart, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go? They might depart. Now therefore make a new cart. Take 2 milk cows which have never been yoked, and hitch the cows to the cart, and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart. Put the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by his side, then send it away and let it go, and watch. If it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Then the men did so. They took 2 milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart, and the chest with gold wrapped, and the images of their tumors. Then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth-Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth-Shemesh. God said, let me show you something. Keep going. I told y'all. Oh, I'm sorry. This is such a great word this morning. Now, the people of Beth-Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Then the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth-Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there. So they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, which was the articles of gold, put them on a large stone. Then the men of Beth-Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices. The same day the Lord. So when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron that same day. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as a trespass offering to the Lord, one for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, and one for Ekron. And the golden rats, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the five lords, both fortified cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel on which they sat the ark of the Lord, which stones remains to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth-Shemesh. Then he struck the men of Beth-Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth-Shemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go? Send messengers to the inhabitants of Carchar to Jerusalem, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. Then the men of Carchar to Jerusalem came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, and consecrated Elijah his son to keep the ark of the Lord. So it was that the ark remained in Jerusalem a long time, for it was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherahs and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines and all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines also. There was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Beth and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Wow, what a fantastic word this morning. I am filled up. It has been awesome. It has been a mighty, mighty word of God. And all through, no one is holy like the Lord. Hannah said it, and it is the truth. And we're going to go back over a few life lessons this morning from 1 Samuel. If there's anybody that has a word from God, please push the 1 on your phone or dial 213-943-3597. And again, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And again, I am not paid by In Touch Ministries, but I say to everyone, if you can get this Bible, it is worth every dollar you spend. It is on back order right now. For those that are out there trying to order it, I know I've ordered it, and it is on back order. But I have ordered it for a friend because I believe that, you know, we should all have this Bible if you can get it. It is so worth it. It, you know, mine actually has my name on it. I had it engraved. I'm like, yep, it is mine, and it's going to be mine in my arsenal for a long, long time. Because a daily word, meditate on his word day and night, is what the Lord tells us. And when we meditate on his word day and night, God opens windows, he opens doors, he opens every avenue that you need to receive something for yourself for that day. When you read the word, your pep is bigger. You get a little bit of joy in your heart. You get a little something that can only come from the word of God. So let's keep moving this morning, y'all. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord had closed her womb. The Lord closed Hannah's womb, not Satan, not an accident, not nature. He is sovereign, and he does according to his will. Daniel 4:35. God used Hannah's grief to bring forth Samuel and give her great joy. Hannah faced a battle she could not win on her own. When she finally fought that battle on her knees, she won a great victory. So can we. Come on now. We got to fight our battles on our knees. You got to go to God. You got to go to God. For he is the Lord. Hallelujah. No one is holy like the Lord. No one. No one can answer your prayers but God. Hallelujah. You got to get on them knees when you got to talk to God. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. Hallelujah. Hannah asking in faith. Hannah was an excellent biblical example of asking in faith. She had married a man named Elkanah, and so had someone else. Through the years, Elkanah's second wife, Phanuel, bore several sons and daughters to him, while Hannah remained barren. Hannah longed for a baby of her own. Following 1 year, Hannah went to the doorway of the tabernacle and wept and prayed to the Lord in great anguish, asking for a son and vowing to give him to the Lord. The Lord heard Hannah's request and answered it. 9 months later, she bore a son named Samuel, who grew up to become the prophet and judge of all Israel. Would Samuel have been born if Hannah had not asked God to give her a son? The Bible seems to answer no. Samuel appeared on the scene in direct response to Hannah's heartfelt request. Excuse me. Got a tickle. First Samuel chapter 1:18. The woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Because otherwise, I call them sister-wise, she was giving her some grief. She was treating her bad. And this is what it said. Hannah left behind her grief, not when her circumstances changed. They hadn't. But after she poured out her soul to the Lord, because of her grief, she connected with the Lord on a level she had never known. Been there. Done that. When it, Holy Spirit hit me like a ton of bricks. And I realized that everything is for a purpose and a reason, and that God is in charge, not us. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Smile at our enemies when we remember that we serve a God who takes great delight in saving and redeeming us. When we rejoice in the Lord and not merely in his blessings, we find a joy known nowhere else. If you are a believer in Christ, the Lord promises to guard your feet, to give you direction, counsel, guidance, and protection on the life road ahead of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 17. The sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. The two sons of Eli served as priests for a long time, even though they did not know the Lord, 1 Samuel 2 and 12. It is easy to go to church and even serve in leadership capacities where without ever making the Lord your Lord, however. And that's the truth. You got folks that have been leaders in church, deacons and preachers and reverends and everything, and don't know God. They know the theological God. They know what it says, but they don't know God, don't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, don't know the Holy Spirit. Will tell you, will quench the Holy Spirit in a hot minute. If you get to speaking in tongues in that church, they're going to look at you like you're crazy and ask you not to come back. Quenching the Holy Spirit. And this is what it says, and I'm going to read it one more time. The sons of Eli served as priests for a long time, even though they did not know the Lord. Phinehas, remember Phinehas from way back when they was doing some stuff with the women of Moab. Moab priest is in there getting ready to do the do, and Phinehas took a javelin and sent it through the two of them. Did not know God. Lost his way. And it goes on to say, it is easy to go to church and even serve in leadership capacities there without ever making the Lord your Lord. However, God takes it very seriously when leaders by their evil conduct make it hard for people to worship in spirit and in truth. He wants a close relationship with us, and he will move against anything that stands in the way. Hallelujah. God does not play. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. 1 Samuel 3 and 7. Early in life, Samuel learned to obey, even though at the beginning he did not understand the process. So when God first spoke to Samuel, the boy didn't yet know his voice, but he learned to hear it soon. God desires that we enjoy a close relationship with himself, and he will do everything necessary to make it possible. We got to study. We got to meditate. We got to know the word of God. It is too important in our life on the word of God. It is too important in our life not to know that God is in charge. And as we continue life lessons, 1 Samuel 4 and 3, let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify. Hallelujah. We got to let God.
Want you to breathe new life within us. Send a refreshing love.
Hallelujah. I got music coming and it's rain on us. Not sure where it's coming from, but I thank God because we do want the glory of God to rain on us this morning. We want God to be in charge of our life. We want God to be absolutely consuming. We want God to know that we are his sons and his daughters and that he is absolute in our life. We got to know who we belong to. We are sons and daughters of God, and we got to know and hear the voice of God. Let God's voice touch your heart. Let God's voice touch your mind. Let him rain on you this morning. That is all I have this morning. I just had a couple more words. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word this morning. The Lord is speaking in my heart to wrap it up today. If there is anyone again, one more time, who would like to speak, please hit the number 1 on your phone. If not, we will be wrapping up. Let God's word permeate your heart, your mind, and your spirit. And I pray a prayer of love and goodness and kindness over you all. And I just have one more word. And all I just say is, God is on the throne. You know, as we just talked this morning, you know, about the word of God and how the word is so important in our life, that, you know, we just got to work the word and know the word, and that the best place to get it is on your knees. You know, a word from our sister in Christ this morning, Hannah, and I just got to go back to Hannah one more time. Hannah didn't just pray. She got on her knees. She cried out. She spoke. She asked God. She prayed for that baby. She said, I will give my child back to you. I will do whatever I must do. She did it. But I got to say this word this morning, Sister Carolyn. The word from my sister in Christ is simply this. Good morning. When life gives you more than you can stand, kneel. God, have a follow God body family. That is it. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the precious and the holy name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day this morning. I thank God for you. I thank you for listening in. We have had church this morning. We have heard a word. Listen for the voice of God, family. And know his voice over the voice of the evil one. But God will never leave you astray. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. And it's time to do what? It's time to go to work. I love you all. Join me again on Sunday as we are in the New Testament. We will be in the book of Luke on Sunday, and we will have our Psalms and our Proverbs on that day. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.